Mr. Clarkson, reel 38.
Normally everybody had to be inoculated against various diseases, and it was usually a painful job. It affected people different ways. I used to have violent headaches and a fever which would last about 24 hours before it died off. Other people, they'd be sick for several days. Their arms would swell up, and it got to such a state that some of them were frightened of it. But the majority of us, we took it as something that would pass away in a couple of days. And when we were going away on the RNG, we'd been away, come back to pay off and recommission, and the key men, I was one of them who'd been 6 months of the old commission, we were going back again. And half a dozen of the seamen, they decided that you could refuse to be inoculated, that nobody, even in the services, you could refuse if you so wished. And they asserted their rights, and they refused. But the doctor, he didn't get worried about it. And they went away, and actually they thought that they might say, well, if you aren't inoculated, you can't go away on a foreign station. And that would have suited them, some of them being married men, and they wanted to stay at home. But that didn't happen. They went, they commissioned the ship, and off they went. And when we arrived in Malta, leaf was piped, and the bold lads mustered up with the Liberty men to go ashore. And the master time said, oh, so-and-so, he said, you can't go ashore here, you haven't been inoculated. So they stuck this lot for about 6 weeks or so. And we went from port, we were going all round Greece, Athens, and then Egypt, Alexandria, and places like that. And their leaf was stopped. They stuck it for about 6 weeks, and then they put in to see the surgeon commander to be inoculated. And he said, well, I'm very sorry, he said, but I only do this every 6 months. And so their leaf was stopped for 6 months. That cured that lot. Nobody ever refused it after that.
The Navy always wins in the end.
Oh, yes, you can put your head up against a brick wall, but you never win. It is the rights they used to explain to us of any man being allowed if he felt he had a grievance. He could demand to see the commander-in-chief. But nobody ever tried it. Because you always got the sticky end. It would look all right at first that you had won the day, but you hadn't. Because there was such a thing in the Navy then. I didn't know it until, I'd been in many, many years. You have your parchment papers, you see them every 12 months. And on there is your character for the last 12 months. The assessment of abilities, whether you had fair, good, exceptional, or superior, whatever it was. You see all that lot, but you don't see the confidential file on yourself. I only saw it through doing a job. I don't know whether it was in the captain's cabin. I think it was. When I was putting some pigeonholes in his safe. And there, lo and behold, I saw some wonderful files. This man, he is a bit of a lower deck lawyer, has to be watched. Another fellow said, Very good at entertaining the lads ashore, plays the guitar, and quite a popular man. But rather lazy. All these things, you've never, that would have been impossible to put them on his official parchments that he sees. But they've got a file on everybody, his peculiar, the way he talks, if he has any communist leanings. All his speech, it's notified there.
Okay. And this would be the divisional officers and the men's officers. That's who would be right. Commenting.
Yes, his divisional officer, he would always say... it would be his division officer, yes, or the head of his department.
Yes.
And it's he just, I suppose, on an annual report, he writes out this specially for a confidential file.
Presumably this file follows you around the Navy.
Oh, yes.
Whatever else you do, you follow.
Oh, yes. For instance... When I was on the Courageous, we just commissioned. I didn't know the commissioned shipwright. I'd heard of him. Actually, a very nice man he was. And he said, Clarkson, he said, I've heard all about you. He said, I said, well, in what way? He said, you know, sometimes, he said, you don't like to come aboard, he said, to the time, he said, if you feel that you're enjoying yourself ashore, he said, you stop over that. He said, you're not particular about that sort of thing. He said, I'd like to tell you that on this ship, they come down on you pretty heavily for it. Now, I'd never seen that man before. And I said, now, look. Whatever I've done in the Navy, if I've done wrong, I've been punished for it. I said, I accept that I've done wrong and I don't mind being punished for it. But I said, no, I'm a married man, a respectable married man. I've got to think of my behaviour. I can't afford to step over the line. Oh, that's all right, he said, but I thought I'd just give you the tip. Now then, where did he get his information from? He didn't get it like the next one I was with from a Freemason, a brother Freemason, the night before he joined the ship, where he got the information on everybody in the staff. Oh no, he didn't get that. He was, as I say, he was quite a nice person and he was giving me the tip. He got it because he read my file that I never saw, nor did anybody else.
And you were never actually shown your file at all. Nobody could
ever... Oh, dear, no.
You were never allowed to...
No, that is a secret document like the Red Ink recommend.
Yes.
It was something you didn't see. The only thing you saw was your parchment. Well, you could look at mine. 19 years out of 22... 19 years, I've had a superior for abilities. That was the highest you could get. But yet I didn't get made a chief. Another fellow jumped me, or he jumped a lot of us, 27 behind, because he had the necessary recommends, red ink recommends that were secret.
And these were coming from?
He was coming from a Freemason boss. That's what he was. It's I've said before that at that time a warrant officer, he had to be a Freemason to be a warrant officer, and therefore that naturally I've another thing I have thought about since when I left the Navy and joined the prison service, it occurred to me then that I can understand now the bosses who, to me, seemed to be... never favoured me very much, probably, in as they might have done, because I was a bit of a nuisance to them, probably. I was a spokesman for the crowd who used to say, good old George, he'll tell them, he'll tell them, give them all our complaints. We'll get behind you, George. But they got promotion, but George didn't. Oh, no. He was marked, as I say, on this these files, yes. And I thought about that when I was in the prison service. I could see then, I could see the prisoner's view, I could see the officer's view, that naturally, if a fellow isn't going to cause you any trouble, he's an officer's man. In actual fact, he's a fellow that I would despise one time, a creeper. Sure, sure. But to me, being in charge, he was a useful man. Yes. I wasn't any use to my officer if I was likely to, be a shop steward.
Yeah. How did you get that role, actually? How did you become the spokesman? How did that evolve? Or was it just circumstances, or was something happened in particular that you can recall?
Well, I'll say this, that it was probably, we'll put it this way, to the Irish blood in me that made me quick-tempered. Mm-hmm. And I always had always one who tried to fight the troubles of the, say, my messmates or workmates. If you're willing to talk without fear of what's going to happen to you through talking, well, then the others will always back you. Yeah. And by airing your opinions and, taking the complaints to the officer in charge, you eventually find out that you're a marked man.
And more marked in your case because you weren't a Freemason, perhaps. Is that what you often think?
Yes, if I'd been a Freemason, I wouldn't have said these things. And I wasn't a Freemason for the simple reason that I said things against that, sir.
Yeah. But of course, if you had been a Freemason, you'd have been on the inside.
Oh, yes.
You'd have been getting this information, presumably.
Exactly so.
So, I see. Yes, yes. And of course, you were a Roman Catholic, which made it impossible.
Well, he wouldn't have been allowed to, couldn't have been a Freemason. Fair. No. You could be right in what you said and what you'd done, but if you were bringing the complaint against an officer, it wasn't policy. We'll say for the captain, the commander, it wasn't policy naturally to let you know that you had got the better of a senior rating,
yeah,
or an officer.
Yes, yes. You had to know your place, in fact. Is that what you mean? That you had to know your place in the system.
That's right. It's wrong to, actually, as far as I can see, it's wrong if you know that an officer is wrong. It's wrong for you to try and tell anybody. It's something that you gloss over. You've got to accept it. And if you suffer, as I say, with a disposition like mine, I couldn't keep my mouth shut if I saw anything going on that I thought was wrong.
Good. Excellent. Can I just go on then, though, and onto this, the Overseas Commission, the Overseas Service, you were on the Red Sea on your for 3 years,
yes,
in the First World War, just soon after you joined the Navy. Can you tell me a little bit about that, how you felt about it? You just joined within, you know, a year or so. You were actually being sent abroad for...
Yeah, within 3 months.
Within 3 months, correct.
3 months,
that, yeah, was your very first proper assignment. How,
yes,
did you feel about it? Can you remember what the feeling among the men was and how men saw these long commissions well, in that time?
It, as regards myself, I was only 16 at the time, and it was a great thing for me to be going foreign, as we called it then. And to me, it was an adventure. But of course, it would be a different thing for a married man with a family to be going away for an unknown time. Now, it didn't worry me in the least that I was away for 4 years and 2 months. I was all the time thinking of, what a hero I would be to my family when I got home after all that time. But then there was other people who were married men and existed on